Since his miraculous conversion in Yeshua almost 30 years ago, Reverend William Bill Snoblin, let's say his friends call him Bill, he's been on a mission to teach salvation and unlock occult secrets. Now, he is a former member, of course, and teacher of witchcraft, Druid High Priest, Satanism, and the like. He is known, well regarded as an absolute expert on the subject, and a very interesting position, indeed, this time of the world. With oneaccord.org, is his website. We're very happy to welcome back Bill Snoblin to the Power Hour. Welcome back, Bill.
Thank you. It is great to be back here on the show.
Yes, very good to have you. Halloween's right around the corner. It seems like once a year about the witching hour, that's when we need to have you on a little more.
Mhm. Yeah.
Very good.
We've been joking, my wife and I and some friends, over the last, it's like since summer started. It's like all summer has been like Halloween, you know? It's becoming a year-long, whatever you call it. I mean, because the spiritual warfare and the spiritual intensity, just I can't ever remember a summer that was as intense as this summer was in the 30-some years I've been in the ministry. And, you know, I don't know why that is. I mean, I know some of it's the nutty politics and... But I'll tell you, I think we don't have long to wait until everything goes boom, you know, so to speak. Because the bad guys are really going crazy. And I think it's because they know they don't have, you know, that long before our master comes back from heaven in power and glory.
Well, there's a very famous scripture in the Bible, I'm sure you're well familiar, that we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight, you know, principalities and rulers of darkness and what have you. And that scripture for a lot of people, has meaning, does not have meaning either way. And so they see political things happening, and what you just said, spiritually, they're seeing physically. You know, they say, yes, it's crazy in the world. They see it. They, you don't have to tell them about the spiritual part. They see the physical. Now maybe they're ready to hear a little bit of what's going on spiritually. William, just get a little bit of background, if you will, so people know your experience and where you're coming from and your level of expertise here before we continue.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I've been in the ministry since 1986, and before that I was a witch. I got involved in witchcraft when I was in college, and even though it was a Catholic college, but there was a lot of weird stuff going on there, and I got drawn into the occult, and one of my teachers there, a professor of theology, Catholic priest, told me that if I wanted to really be a good Christian and become a good priest, because at the time that's what I wanted to do, that I should go study the occult, because that's what Jesus did. And so I went and I studied the occult, and that's how I got into witchcraft. And anyway, from there, I took a leave of absence from the seminary, and I taught a few years, and then we started doing witch covens in all over the Midwest, specifically centered in Milwaukee. And I initiated more than 175 women into Wicca, which is like white witchcraft, and celebrated, 16 years of Halloween, in which we did sacred dark rituals on this night. So I'm pretty well acquainted with that. And, it's like from there, because of the advice I was given by high-level witches and druids and stuff like that, I got involved in the Freemasons. And I became a 32nd degree Mason and a Shriner. I was a lodge officer in the Freemasons. I got involved in Satanism. I became a second degree member of the Church of Satan. I also got involved with, later on, toward the end of things, let me tell this, because in the middle of the darkest part of my Satanism thing, I got a check from a woman who was, pardon me, it wasn't made out to me, but it was a check back from the bank, and where I'd paid a annual dues to the Church of Satan to get their newsletter. And anyway, on the check, some woman from the bank out there in San Francisco had written, "I'll be praying for you in the name of Jesus." And, of course, I just laughed because I was so deceived at that point. I thought that Jesus was a Satanist, quote-unquote. And so I just forgot about it. But within 24 hours, something just hit me like a Mack truck. And I lost all my magic power. I got sick as a dog, and I didn't know what to do. You know, so I went up to our satanic temple up in the attic, this dark, everything was painted black and all that, and I cried out to Lucifer for a sign. And literally, the next day, I got a phone call from these two Satanist girls in Chicago, and they wanted to come out and give me a gift. And I thought, well, okay, whatever. So they came up and they gave me two Jack Chick comic books about the dangers of witchcraft. Now, that's just bizarre when you think about it, but it's the absolute truth. And anyhow, at the time, I couldn't be bothered. I just glanced at them and threw them in a box and forgot about them. The next day, Mormon missionaries showed up at our door. And because the Grand Master Druid of North America had told us 6 years earlier, if we ever got in deep spiritual trouble, to join the Mormon Church, because it was an occult organization run by witches, I joined the Mormon Church. I spent 5 years as a Mormon, went through the temple and the whole bit, and the only thing the Mormons did for me was they got me to read the Bible. And they used the King James Bible, for the most part. And so I ended up studying my way out of Mormonism, and in 1984 I got born again from going back and finding one of those comic books and reading it and reading that plan of salvation in the back cover, you know. And so I got born again, and that was June of 1984. And a couple years later, I started speaking in places. In 1986, I spoke at a major conference in Salt Lake City on Mormonism's Temple of Doom, and off we went, you know. So, and I've been in ministry ever since.
Well, let me ask you a couple questions there. Many people hear similar stories. You know, there's people out there with similar stories. How hard was it to get away from your satanic roots? And, I mean, was there blowback? Were you threatened? Were you able to walk away? And then let's start there. Go ahead.
Yes, I was. What we did, we sent, because we had moved away from Milwaukee, I sent letters to all of the people. This is before there was email. And I sent letters to all of our former coven members, telling them about Yahushua, you know, and telling about salvation and all of that. And several of them threatened to kill me. They wanted to come. They were going to come to Dubuque. One weird, wacko woman said she was going to come to Dubuque and bury an emerald dagger in my chest for betraying the goddess, quote unquote.
Ooh.
So, you know, but all through these years, you know, the Almighty has protected us. But, yeah. And, of course, to this day, there are witch websites and whatnot that are attacking me and saying I'm a liar and all of this stuff, you know. But, you know, we've made an effort right from the beginning, right from 1987 when we put out my first book, which is Mormonism's Temple of Doom. You know, we put all of my documents out there. We have photocopies of my graduation of the Church of Wicca, from my Mormon, you know, like baptism and temple recommend, my Masonic certificates. All these things have been out there available for anybody to see, really, for 30 years. And, you know, and Dr. Walter Martin, who, of course, was the leading anti-cult apologetics guy back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, he had me on his radio show, and he said that, you know, my credentials cannot be fairly challenged. So, you know, there you go. But, yeah, we've had a lot of attacks. We've been cursed, and, yeah, you bet.
Let me ask you a little. We got a couple minutes before the break, and then we'll get into, you know, quite a few things on the other side. But
sure.
Satanism and Luciferianism. From my studies, what I've heard many Luciferians say this. There's a difference between Satanism and Luciferianism. Do you understand that same thing, and what is the difference, if so?
Yes, that's true. Luciferians believe that, you know, Lucifer is this god of light. You know, and of course, you know, the word means light bearer in Latin. You know, so they believe that he's a good positive force, but they also believe he offers another way, if you will, to enlightenment other than what the Bible teaches, okay? But they pretend at least to be white light, you know, warriors of goodness and all of that. Now, Satanists, on the other hand, they just say, hey, no, we're the dark side and we're proud of it. And they believe Satan. Now, again, there's different kinds of Satanists, just like there's different kinds of Christians, you know. And there's some Satanists like the Church of Satan and like this newer organization, the Satanic Temple. It's been getting so much press lately because they're very politically active. You know, okay, got a break coming up. So,
yeah, that's a good place to stop. Side. Yeah. Let's get more on the other side. William Stoblin with oneaccord.org is his website. You're listening to the Power Hour, thepowerhour.com. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Talking to William, not Stoblin, Bill, to his friends. We're very pleased to have him telling his story. We're in the middle of you getting out of separating from your satanic ties and those kind of things, the difference between Satanism and Luciferianism. You want to finish up with that, Bill?
Well, yes. Well, you'd asked, you know, about if there had been blowback, and there certainly was. But I guess, you know, I just wanted to briefly finish my thought about these modern churches of Satan. You know, the both the Church of Satan and the Temple of Satanic, whatever it is, they both deny that they believe in the devil. They just use the devil as a symbol. A symbol of rebellion, a symbol of liberty, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's all smoke and mirrors, no pun intended. They really do believe in the devil. And then there's hardcore Satanists, which are not in legal, like 501c3 type organizations like the Church of Satan. And they actually are the ones that are out there doing, you know, animal sacrifices, human sacrifices, child abuse, all kinds of horrible things. And they are absolutely committed to the dark side. They are like satanic zealots of the worst order. So, I was moving in that direction. Sorry?
All right, let me ask you a couple questions about them before you move on. How
sure.
prevalent do you think those hardcore Satanists are?
I think they're more prevalent than most people would realize. Because, you see, there's just, you know, most of them you wouldn't know they're Satanists. The real Satanists, I mean, you know, they're satanic. You know, people out there that like dress in black and have pentagrams and tattoos and all kinds of weird stuff, you know. But they
right.
aren't the really dangerous ones. The really dangerous ones.
You don't have to worry about them.
Well, to a limited extent, you do. But, you know, like I certainly wouldn't have one as a friend. But, you know, they're not like going to likely to steal your children or something, you know. But on the other hand, these hardcore Satanists often will look like very respectable people, very respectable men and women, doctors, lawyers, even clergy. Many clergy are actually secretly Satanists, both Protestant clergy and Catholic clergy, and even in the charismatic and evangelical movement, you know. So they're the ones that unless you have the discerning of spirits, you know, which is a spiritual gift, I encourage all believers to cultivate. Sometimes they can be a member of a church or, like I said, even an elder, a deacon, or a pastor, and nobody knows, and yet they're really secretly wreaking havoc inside of the church because they're like double agents. I would bet there's at least 100,000 of them in America.
And so they might infiltrate, they're infiltrators, they're double agents, as you said. They go to a church and they sow discord, they watch the situations to be aware. Why are they there?
Well, let me give you an example from my own biography. When I was in Satanism, right before this woman prayed for me and, you know, I started getting out of it all, I was being instructed by my superiors in the Brotherhood of Satan to join a major charismatic church in Brookfield, Wisconsin, which is like a suburb of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And anyway, I was supposed to go there. They even taught me how to pray in a fake prayer language, and, you know, like Pentecostals, and go there and become a member of the church, you know, give money to the church, attend the meetings faithfully. And then at some point, I was told I would just start sowing gossip among the membership of the church about the pastor. This was a big active church at that time. I think it was Pastor Stuart Briscoe who was the pastor back then. I don't even know if he's still alive now, but it's decades ago. And anyway, and even maybe accuse one of the leadership people of, like, what do you want to say, trying to seduce me, that they were you know, homosexuals or something. Because you know how that works. You put rumors like that out there in a congregation, it can tear the thing apart. The congregation apart. And not only that, other things like leaving around the church cursed objects. Like, you know, we talk about this in my book, Blood on the Doorpost, how sometimes Satanists will go and visit a church, you know, because obviously most churches don't have any regulations about, you know, if you're a stranger that you can't come in. And then they'll take a article of clothing, maybe like a scarf or a glove or something, that has been put in the center of a magic circle and charged with malignant evil energy. And then they'll, like, accidentally, quote unquote, leave that article of clothing in the coat room, you know, and go off and never come back. And because that cursed object is in the church, unless they have people in the church that are very spiritually sensitive, they won't pick it up, and then that church will become open to demonic attack. And it's very cunning, it's very clever, and it's why basically we, as I said a few minutes ago, we exhort all, especially people in leadership, but even lay people, I hate that word, but you know what I mean, to really get involved in developing the discerning of spirits, which is a spiritual gift that Paul talks about. So, you know, that's a very real thing. And, of course, like I said, also the gossiping thing and even seducing. Like, you know, some other individual might come in there and find some, you know, because there's always single groups in these churches, you know, single men, women, and join the singles group and then seduce somebody and destroy their testimony. Get them to, you know, commit fornication or whatever. So there's all kinds of ways they can do this. Because, again, the devil is subtle. And, unfortunately, he knows our weaknesses better than we do. And he will poke around with all believers, especially if it's a church that is doing something effective and doing something powerful for the kingdom. They will get these people in there and get them to start, you know, weakening the struts of the church, so to speak, both sociologically, ecclesiastically, and also personally, including bringing down
the pastor. Okay, so getting to the dogma, then, the dogma of the Satan, I guess there's a difference here, but I'm kind of grouping them all together.
Right.
Of these, for lack of a better word, for the satanic doctrine, the dogma. Explain that to me a little bit, because you're saying, you know, you leave an article of clothing, it opens you up to satanic possession. Anybody who's effective, you want to curse them, you want to try to take them down, whether it's effective churches or other things. Kind of explain what they believe there.
Okay, what they believe is that there is this upcoming war. They believe that the Battle of Armageddon is coming, the great apocalyptic struggle that you read about in the end of Revelation. But they believe that if they can corrupt enough people and get more people on their side, both dead and living, you know, like enough damned souls and enough living people that are either hardcore Satanists or even softcore Satanists, when Yahushua, Jesus, comes back, that they will be able to fight him and defeat him and overthrow the throne of heaven, and that Satan can take his throne back that is rightfully his, they believe. So that's their goal.
My word. There's the music again. We'll get to this on the other side. I am totally enthralled right now. I can't wait till the other side of this. I got so many more questions for you. Stay tuned. William Snowblin with OneAccord.org.